Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This week, we've been digging into the impact President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet picks might have on Massachusetts. And today, we'll look at education. Last week, Trump announced his pick for Secretary of Education, Michigan billionaire and Republican activist Betsy DeVos. DeVos is former chairwoman of the Michigan Republican Party and a passionate school choice proponent. She pushed a failed 2000 ballot initiative in Michigan to create a school voucher system. DeVos also founded, funded, and chairs the American Federation for Children, a policy advocacy group that promotes charter schools, vouchers, and other school choice initiatives. Trump, in the statement announcing her as his pick, said she will be able to, quote, break the bureaucracy that is holding our children back. So what might the pick mean for Massachusetts? Well, joining us now in the studio is Paul Revel. He's professor of educational policy and administration at the Harvard Graduate School of Education, and he also served as the Secretary of Education for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts under Governor Deval Patrick. Professor Revel, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Glad to be here, Meghna.
So first of all, tell us, I mean, how important is the specific person who is the federal secretary for the states? I mean, what's the relationship like between someone who is at the level you are at and the federal Department of Education?
Well, first of all, if you're a Secretary of Education, you need to carry out the policies that are articulated by your principal. If it's the governor, it's the governor's policies. And if it's the president, it's the president's policies. In this case, candidate Trump, at any rate, seemed to place a fairly low priority on education. In particular, he talked some about early childhood and the need for more daycare. He talked some about the student debt crisis at higher education level. And he talked occasionally about the need for more choice in the K-12 system and occasionally expressed his displeasure with the Common Core. But you have to say that education for neither candidate really was not a top priority, not something they talked a great deal about. And I think that's one of the things to note in the beginning here, irrespective of who's secretary. In the near term, I don't expect this to be a policy priority for aggressive moves forward by the administration.
Right. But he has picked as his Secretary of Education someone who has been very, very active in advancing a school choice agenda. I mean, that has been at the heart of Betsy DeVos's advocacy in Michigan for quite some time.
Well, both in Michigan and nationally.
And
she's
nationally,
been a very forceful proponent, made stronger by the fact that she can back it up with lots of donations to causes. She's founded organizations, participated in others. And I think what's important to note about her is she has a very broad conception of school choice. We've recently had a heated battle over choice in Massachusetts, but it's been confined to a discussion of well-regulated charter schools and whether or not we ought to lift the cap. Secretary-designee DeVos's idea of choice is much broader than that. It amounts to vouchers, giving money to students to take that money to private schools, to parochial schools, to for-profit schools. She's interested in opportunity scholarships. She's interested in tax credits. She's interested in sort of a wholesale array of avenues to allow people to exit the mainstream system and to go to outside sources of schooling.
I mean, we have seen in federal ed secretaries in the past a certain proactiveness that may have rubbed folks the wrong way. I'm thinking about Arne Duncan.
That's right.
I mean, he was possibly the most powerful and influential education secretary at the federal level we've seen in some time. Would it be possible for Betsy DeVos to be as influential as Duncan was?
I think it's unlikely because, Meghna, Congress voted well before Donald Trump was elected president. Congress voted in the reauthorization of what we call the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, which had been called No Child Left Behind, a new act called the Every Student Succeeds Act. And that, more than anything, was a clear message by a Republican Congress to the executive branch that we don't want a muscular activist Department of Education. We want to push these choices down to the state and local level where constitutionally they belong. And after all, Donald Trump ran on a states' rights, local prerogative kind of campaign. So I would think even on a subject like school choice, about which there is a fair amount of interest among Republicans in particular and some Democrats, it's going to be very hard for the federal government to take a strongly proactive. I mean, people don't want to be told by the federal government what they should be doing in education, and that includes the subject of school choice. So I think there'll be pushback on this. However, With the president-elect's strong commitment and her track record in terms of working very hard on these issues, I think you can expect some policy to come forward in this vein.
So let's talk about some of the potential specifics, because Betsy DeVos herself in the past has talked very positively about vouchers, for example, and that, you know, would it be possible for, what is it, some 10 or... I hope I get this number at $10 or $15 billion in terms of Title I funding.
$20 billion
from Title I funding from the federal government. I mean, could that end up being passed down to the state through a voucher system?
Well, I think it's unlikely to directly come through a voucher system. What I think is we're more likely see is some kind of incentive that's put forward by the federal government to encourage states, much as Race to the Top ironically did, to expand school choice within states, but not to be prescriptive in terms of how you do it. I think that the Republicans themselves will disagree about whether or not they're in favor of vouchers. Vouchers have been almost uniformly rejected by voters across the country whenever it's been put to voters, most recently in Michigan in her home state. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has to be said that Betsy DeVos in the state of Michigan has a troubled track record in terms of school choice. Number one, she's not been able to get through the array of choices, vouchers and tax credits and scholarships that she wanted to see. Michigan only has charter schools, and they have arguably one of the worst charter school programs in the country. 75% of the schools are for-profit schools. The overwhelming majority are performing well below average, and Detroit is an out-and-out disaster. So what's happened in terms of school choice and charter schools in Michigan has been a real problem for the charter school movement as a whole. However, that being said, I think elsewhere in Massachusetts, I think we've done charter schools well.
Yeah, and very differently, obviously.
And very differently, a very well-regulated, targeted approach to authorizing charter schools. So I think you will see interest in Congress in doing something, but I think Republicans themselves will disagree about the details. The devil's in the details, so it's going to be hard to get consensus on a highly prescriptive federal program.
Yeah. You know, so I was also wondering about what actual state laws that we have here in Massachusetts and how that might affect, you know, the reality of any kind of even semi-voucher program, if I can call that, because we were looking back in history and we found that some 38 states actually have anti-aid amendments that would make vouchers next to impossible. And in Massachusetts, we have one that dates back to 1855. The Know Nothing Amendment that actually prevents disbursements of state funds and local tax revenues to parochial schools. That was expanded in 1917 to private schools as well. So does that just by definition block any sort of federal voucher system from coming to Massachusetts?
Well, I think it's indicative of the kind of tangles that a federal prescription or a federal mandate would run into, which is why I would expect to see a more incentive money come down to try and stimulate states to change their own laws. So we have those prohibitions in state law in Massachusetts. A state could presumably change that if they wanted to do so and if they were sufficiently incentivized to do so. I might point out that in Massachusetts, when I was in office under Governor Patrick's leadership, we passed through the legislature the most substantial cap lift in some time. So that was a response in part, at least, to the Race to the Top incentive money that was on the table. So the federal government put down an incentive. The state responded, changed the law to allow for a cap lift. I'd expect to see something like that happen, even though, ironically, candidate Trump was highly critical of Race to the Top and that kind of federal involvement.
So it seems as what you're saying is, in part because of the bill, the bipartisan bill passed and signed last year by President Obama, and Congress's reluctance to expand federal involvement in education in the states, that this may be one area in which the federal secretary actually could have a limited impact, and in fact states could lead instead of follow a federal government mandate.
I think what you'll see is some kinds of federal openings and leaving it up to states to take the prerogative. I think Betsy DeVos is well known politically. She has influence. She's a billionaire. She's donated a lot to Republican causes and other causes across the country. So, I mean, I think she'll be politically astute and she'll be helpful to the president in that regard. But at the same time, I think she's going to run into a lot of opposition about how you do school choice and about the degree to which the federal government can really push states to do things. I'm hoping that, for example, in some other areas, like in the area of early childhood, where they have said they want to do more in the way of daycare, that they'll think not just about daycare, which is in effect babysitting, but think about early childhood education. Some real openings and opportunities there. Or to think in the higher education end of things, candidate Trump often said that one of the things that most moved him on the campaign trail was the reaction against the student debt crisis in higher education. So he wants to do something there. I think if she tries to tackle, for example, Title I funding, there's going to be a lot of resistance to that. Taking $20 billion, which now goes to the neediest schools, the schools serving the neediest kids in the United States, is going to be resisted even in Republican communities.
Mm. I mean, so you pointed out two other sectors that are very, very important to Massachusetts, early childhood ed and higher ed, obviously critical parts of the state's economy and quality of life as a whole. But on the higher ed side, I'm not sure I know exactly what Betsy DeVos even thinks about a higher ed or what the issues are.
I don't think she's had a lot of experience there. She certainly hasn't articulated her views on that topic. Candidate Trump did put forward a proposal which was criticized as being too expensive, even though he criticized Hillary Clinton's plan for being too expensive. He did put forward a debt relief kind of program. So, you know, I think you'll see some new thinking there. He, after all, for better or worse, was a college president, a college leader at any rate, a sponsor and a founder of a college. It was a for-profit. It had it's gotten into some disastrous tangles in terms of for-profits. The Obama administration and Arne Duncan were very tough on regulating for-profit schools. I'd expect that to be relieved. Betsy DeVos is apparently an anti-regulatory kind of person, which is why you have this Wild West atmosphere for charter schools now in Michigan.
Well, last question for you while I have you. We've been asking this of everyone who's come in to talk to us about what Trump's cabinet picks might mean for Massachusetts. I mean, if you were the state's Secretary of Education today, I mean, what would you be thinking? What would be your primary area of focus or question when looking at the state's relationship with the federal government?
Well, I mean, I think right now, were I in that position, I'd keep my head down and take advantage of the opportunity to move forward and do the work that we think needs to be done. We've got a long history of that in Massachusetts. We haven't been waiting, you know, over the past 25 years for a federal message as to what we ought to do. We've been a leader, and Massachusetts has always been a leader in public education. So I think particularly after this ballot question, we need to move forward on an agenda with respect to how are we going to close achievement gaps in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts? How are we going to do better in preparing our children in early childhood to come to school? How are we going to help them do better in learning to read by grade 3? How are we going to have better career pathways for them? How are we going to get a higher rate of admission and preparation for college and better college completion? We've got a lot of challenges ahead. And the idea that it's all about school choice or it's all about charter schools or we should wait around for a lead from the federal government, I think is mistaken. I'd rather see us sort of dig in, form a new reform agenda for Massachusetts and move aggressively forward. And I think we'll have the running room because, as I say, I think the federal government's going to be preoccupied for a while.
Well, Paul Revel is a professor of educational policy and administration at the Harvard Graduate School of Education. He served as the Secretary of Education for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts under Governor Deval Patrick. Professor Revel, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Meghna. Pleasure to be here.
Back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.